Since the pursuit of wealth is vain, it is best to work diligently, to invest wisely, and to entrust everything to God.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, it has been said, and probably one of the most misquoted Bible verses of all time, it has been said that money is the root of all evil. Is that what the Bible says? No, it does not say that. It says what? No, the love of money. And it says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That is, that when we are pursuing money, when it becomes an idol of the heart, it can lead to all kinds of evil. But in and of itself, money is not evil. However, as the scripture clearly warns us, though, it can be a great trap, can it? It can be a snare that leads to all kinds of evil. It can be an idol of our hearts that promises so much, but ultimately delivers so little. We're continuing today in our series in Ecclesiastes, in which we are comparing and contrasting here two ways of living, two ways of approaching life. One is life under the sun. Much of the books, if we just read this, we think, boy, this is a dark and depressing book. Well, the reason it's dark and depressing is because it's talking about life under the sun, that is, life apart from God. That when one is living for this world, the things of this world, trying to find ultimate meaning and purpose in this world and the things of this world, it ultimately shows itself to be vain. Empty. It's not saying that life is meaningless and has no meaning. It's saying that apart from God, it's empty and it does not have eternal meaning that it's intended to have. Life under the sun, life apart from God. Or another way of approaching life is life lived in fear of the Lord. And that reverence and respect and awe of God, obedience to Him, that right relationship with God. Two ways of living, under the sun, apart from God, in the fear of the Lord, living in obedience and right relationship with God. Well, we are approaching Ecclesiastes from a topical perspective, looking at the various topics that Solomon explores here. And today our focus is on wealth. And what we learn today is that the pursuit of wealth, that is, when wealth becomes an idol of our hearts, or it becomes what we're living for, what we're pursuing, that love of money, if you will, since the pursuit of wealth is vain, it is best, though, to work diligently, to invest wisely, and to entrust everything to God. So wealth under the sun, and wealth in fear of the Lord. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. There's quite a bit of scripture here in Ecclesiastes that deals with this topic of wealth. You might wonder, well, why was that? Well, it's because Solomon, you might guess, or you might know, he was a fairly wealthy person. How wealthy was he? Well, I've been doing a little research here on this, and you get some varying answers, but wherever the answer comes down, I think you'll see it's pretty, well, a lot. Pretty impressive. In today's dollars, if you take the gold and the silver and all that, and estimate all of that, in today's dollars, estimates can range anywhere from, oh, just a mere hundreds of billions of dollars to perhaps as much, I've even saw one estimate for as much as $2 trillion. So you think about that. Anywhere from hundreds of billions to $2 trillion. That's a lot of wealth, wouldn't you say so? So when it comes to discussing wealth under the sun, he's a pretty good authority for us on that. Now, it's true that God gave him great wisdom, but God also then blessed him with enormous wealth. Sadly, though, Solomon's heart turned away from the Lord. And Solomon, then he discovered firsthand the vanity of life under the sun. Life apart from God as the center of our heart's affections. So we start today in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, where Solomon begins to recount his search for deep meaning and satisfaction in life under the sun. And what he learned then in the process. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity, and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. What do we learn about wealth under the sun, pleasure, achievement under the sun from Solomon in that passage? Well, we learn that it's all ultimately empty. It doesn't last. It doesn't have ultimate meaning and significance because it's all fading and passing away. Everything that is done just has to be given over to someone else, and who knows what they'll do with it. Solomon shows us that pleasure is vain, achievement is vain, wealth is vain. Pleasure is vain, empty, devoid of ultimate meaning and significance. physical pleasures, wine, sex. It ultimately failed to satisfy him. Achievement is vain. Great works, all of the projects that he did. I'm sure he enjoyed working in those projects, and when they were done, and then he looked at them and realized, well, I'm just going to have to leave this to someone else, and who knows what will happen to all to it then. Who knows how they will manage it? So all of these great works that he did would all be turned over to someone else. By the way, did you know there's been quite a few archaeological discoveries in Israel, as you might guess? But did you know not one single project of Solomon has ever been found? Everything that he did under the sun, I think that's God's sense of humor right there, right? Because we found a lot of things. But not once, all of these massive public works projects, nothing of his has ever been found. Pleasure is vain. Achievement is vain. And then he says, wealth. Wealth is vain. Said he became enormously wealthy. Some have said that he perhaps was the wealthiest person that ever lived. Silver, gold, the treasure of kings. But this too, he discovered, was vanity. And with some other passages we're going to read in a moment here, we're going to see why it was vanity. It's important to note, though, that in all of this, he says, his mind was still guided by wisdom. As this was a deliberate, careful search, he was looking for this ultimate meaning and satisfaction under the sun, carefully trying out all of these things while his wisdom remaining with him. That is, a deliberate, careful search, being careful to avoid utter debauchery. Because some might say, well, of course, you just give yourself to utter debauchery, and of course you found it to be vain. But he didn't. And even then, he still found it all to be vain. So why is the pursuit of wealth, apart from God, why is it vain? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he tells us more on that. He says, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Kind of a grim picture there, isn't it? I'm going to read another passage, and after that I want to summarize this with six reasons not to pursue wealth under the sun, according to Solomon here. Goes on to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, there is an evil that I have seen under the sun. and it lies heavy on mankind. A man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so that he lacks nothing of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to enjoy them. But a stranger enjoys them. This is vanity. It is a grievous evil. If a man fathers 100 children and lives many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with life's good things, and he also has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better off than he. For it comes in vanity and goes in darkness, and in darkness its name is covered. Moreover, it has not seen the sun or known anything, yet it finds rest rather than he. Even though he should live 1,000 years twice over, yet enjoy no good, do not all go to the one place, that is the grave. All the toil of man is for his mouth, yet his appetite is not satisfied. For what advantage has the wise man over the fool? And what does the poor man have who knows how to conduct himself before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Put these passages together here, and I want to summarize it here with six reasons not to pursue wealth under the sun, according to Solomon. The first one is this: it's never enough. It never satisfies. Isn't this some? This is coming from someone hundreds of billions, perhaps $2 trillion. And he says, I don't enjoy this. It's not enough. And no matter how much you have, you keep wanting more. How many of you remember, maybe when you were a little kid, you thought about one day when you got a little old, you were going to have a job and you were going to make money, and you started setting these goals, these financial goals for how much money you would like to make. And maybe you thought, when you're a teenager, boy, of course, I'm going to go back in time a little bit here. I mean, again, I know we have to inflation adjust, but let's just imagine we're back in time for a little bit here. So, let's see. Well, when I was a teenager, I thought, man, to make like $20,000 a year? Wow. Then I got a little, then I'm like, $30,000. And then we go, $50,000. That would be a good amount. And then I just go, you know what? And then I saw some of my friends. And I have some pretty, by this world's standards, successful friends, okay? And I see how much they are making. And you know what we've all discovered? It's that no matter how much you make, it's never enough. Well, surely there has to come a point. I mean, when you get into millions or billions, it's enough, right? But is it? Yeah. It's a little more, but it's not enough, is it? Why? Because there's a hunger that it never satisfies. Found it interesting. There's a program I've been watching that I don't recommend this for family viewing hour, okay? But it's a program, it's called Billions. And it's about a struggle, if you will, between a billionaire in New York City, a Wall Street billionaire who made hundreds of billions of dollars. So he's like a Solomon in that regard. And he's done it through, you might say, somewhat unethical and illegal means to get that money. And so there is a New York district attorney who's on the case, who's trying to bring him down. And so it's this battle between this district attorney and the billionaire. The billionaire, his name is, the character is Bobby Axelrod. And there's a scene there where Bobby, he's sitting with his counselor, his therapist, okay? He's sitting there with his counselor. And he talks about, when he was young, all he thought about was getting rich and getting even. He was going to get rich and he was going to get even with people who had harmed him. And the counselor says, "Have you?" And he says, "Yeah, mostly." And then the counselor asks, "Does it make everything all better?" And he answers, "Why doesn't it?" Well, here's where things got a little later in the episode. He was walking, he's in Manhattan, he's walking with a business partner. They're discussing what he's trying to do to make more money, right? Because it's never enough. And his business partner turns to him and says, "What do you need?" And Bobby says, "I'm not sure. Something." And here's what was fascinating. Is across the street, as they're talking, across the street we see a particular building. Now, I'm a bit of an architecture aficionado, if you will. I love skyscrapers. And so when I saw them walking, I saw, oh, I saw this building. It's like, now that's interesting, because I knew the name of the building. And as they continue walking, he then turns. And you see over his shoulder the name of the building. The building is named, it's a chemical manufacturing company named for the founder. But I found this and I thought, this cannot be a coincidence. Of all the places they could have filmed, and here it is, and right over his shoulder, he says, "What do you need?" And Bobby says, "I'm not sure. Something." But right over his shoulder, we see the building in the background. And that's something, right over his shoulder you saw grace. It makes me wonder, who are these writers? See, now that is good writing. And I don't know that this is a Christian who's writing this show, because believe me, there are scenes that would make you think it's not, okay? But that's good. So I'll be curious to see where it goes with this. By the way, there's another scene with his wife and his wife's sister. They're bored. So they go on a shopping spree. And then they're flying in their helicopter over Manhattan. And she says, "I need something." And his sister said, "What? What do you need?" And she just looks out the window and stares, "I don't know." What does Bobby need? What does his wife need? What do we all need? So the pursuit of wealth under the sun is vain, because it never satisfies. It's never enough. I could tell you stories too, and you've probably heard them. We've all heard about the lottery winners, you know, these massive, huge jackpot lottery winners, how they'll win hundreds of millions of dollars, and then you'll come back and interview them a few years later, and what do they... Almost every time, it's almost a cliche. What do they say? "Broke." They're broke, or they'll say what? "I wish I'd never won it." It's a lie. It's an illusion. I didn't say wealth is evil. I said the pursuit of wealth under the sun is vain and empty. It's never enough. But here's another reason, some other reasons he gives us. He says it attracts users. That is, it attracts people who want what you have. They're not interested in you, they're interested in what you have. Here's another thing. It keeps you up at night worrying, thinking about your investments, thinking about, how do I hold on to this? I don't want to lose this. How do I hold on to it? Here's another thing, that kind of wealth, one bad investment, And you can lose it all quickly. But here's another one. You can't take it with you. See, because the wealthy person and the poor person, the wise and the fool alike, we all die, right? And you can't take it with you. It's like the old joke, right, that you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul, do you? You can't take it with you. The pharaohs thought they could. That's why they built the pyramids, put all that stuff in there. How'd that work out? They're still dead and the stuff is still there, isn't it? And in the end, it just proves to be a hard and bitter quest. Well, that's the vain pursuit of wealth under the sun. Be glad to know there's a little more to this than just that. Because Solomon tells us then about wealth in the fear of the Lord. He has some things he learned then along the way. I want to read some passages about what he says about wealth in the fear of the Lord. And from all of that, I'm going to draw two main thoughts or ideas about wealth in the fear of the Lord. Wealth under the sun is vain. However, wealth in the fear of the Lord is, well, let's see. It says in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he is given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give it to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. Goes on to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes 5, starting in verse 18. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. So wealth in the fear of the Lord is that God gives joy. You see, wealth in and of itself does not give joy. God, however, for to the one who pleases him, that is the one who is living in fear of the Lord, God gives the ability, the power to enjoy what God has given. Remember, he said before, this is an evil. He said that God gives people things, but he does not give them the power to enjoy them. Well, why doesn't he give some not the power to enjoy them? Because they're not living in the fear of the Lord, right? But for those who live in the fear of the Lord, God gives joy. Now, the pursuit of wealth apart from God is vanity. But God gives the power to enjoy the things that he gives. See, if we are living for stuff, It doesn't please or satisfy or bring joy. But when we're living for God, he gives us the power to enjoy it. See, so sometimes God gives us good things and we can enjoy them in the power of God, that God gives us to enjoy those things. But if we're not living in the fear of the Lord, it doesn't necessarily bring joy, does it? God gives joy, the ability to enjoy good things. But here's something else. He has a lot of wisdom or advice to give us here. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. This is a proverbial way of saying, it's not good to be lazy, nor is it good to be working so hard that you don't enjoy your life at all. Right? Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, for whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. So we're saying, what's the wisdom here? What am I supposed to... Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting in verse 18. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. A little birdie told me, right? Last one, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. This is called investment diversification. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So wealth and the fear of the Lord is, first, God gives joy. It's a gift of God that he gives to enjoy the things that we have. But then here's the other thing. God gives wisdom in how to pursue and use that wealth. And in particular, what particular principles do I want us to draw from what we just read? This. Work diligently. Invest wisely. But ultimately, entrust what to God? Everything. We don't know what's going to come tomorrow, do we? Is it a guarantee that if we are walking with the Lord, if we are living in fear of the Lord, we're being obedient to Him, that everything is always going to work out great? No. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider what? God has made one as well as the other. We need to trust God no matter what, that He knows what He is doing. Work diligently. Don't be lazy. Work hard, but don't live for work, though, either. Work diligently. Invest wisely. That's that casting your bread on the water to seven or eight. It's saying what? Invest wisely. Diversify. Don't put all your proverbial eggs in one basket, right? But in the end, do what? Entrust everything to the sovereign Lord. And whatever may come, know that what? God has made the one as well as the other. So wealth under the sun is ultimately vain. Wealth in the fear of God is joyful and to be exercised with wisdom. Work diligently, invest wisely, entrust everything to God. Well, so what? What do you want me to take away from this? Well, I'm going to remind us where we started. The pursuit of wealth is vain. And therefore, it is best to work diligently, invest wisely, and entrust everything to God. I want to conclude with a couple of New Testament reminders on this topic for us as followers of Jesus. Something Jesus said, I think we may have heard this a little earlier in the service somewhere. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we're living for the stuff, it's all fading away, isn't it? But rather work for treasures in heaven. And what are treasures in heaven? It's godly character, and it's the good works that God gives us to. It's investing in eternity, in people, and in that which pleases God. That is treasure in heaven. And nobody can ever take that away from you, and it's never going to fade away or be destroyed. Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is instructing Timothy. And he talks about the value of contentment. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We can gain all the world, but if we're not content, what have we? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And he goes on then to give to give Timothy, to give instruction to the rich. To the rich in your congregation, Pastor Timothy, tell them this. Tell the rich people in your congregation this, Timothy. And by the way, what he says to them, we are the rich. Did you know that? We are the rich. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Where have we heard this before? They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. Where have we heard that before? So that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And to conclude with a simple question, are you pursuing vain wealth or lasting treasure? What are you living for? It's okay to enjoy nice things, but that's a gift of God. But what's not okay is the pursuit of wealth, the love of wealth, which is a root of all kinds of evils. But what we are encouraged to pursue, to set our hearts on, is treasure, eternal treasure, treasure in heaven. And that's the treasure that comes from living in the fear of the Lord, obeying His commands. It's the treasure of righteous character and good works in the name of Jesus. That is treasure that will last. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this challenge, this reminder that you have given to us from your word, that while you have made many things for us to enjoy, it is vanity to pursue those things apart from a right relationship with you. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have worshipped the creation rather than the Creator. God, I pray that our hearts would be set first and foremost and always on knowing you, on walking with you in fear and obedience. We thank you, Lord, for the good gifts that you have given us, the good gifts in this world, but most supremely, Lord, the good gifts of Christ, which are for all time and eternity. Teach us, Lord, to enjoy them and to be content in them, in Jesus' name. And may we be wise then with the wealth of this world, working hard, working diligently, investing wisely, but putting our trust in you, no matter what may come. For this is the way of wisdom. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.